All right. Okay, good. Thank you very much. And we are on this journey of great faith. How many of you were here with us right from the very beginning? Right in January 7th, when we had our prayer and fasting, you were right here with us. Any of you? All right, handful. You have survived. All right, we've talked about great faith for the last 5 weeks now, my prayer is that you're not full of faith, all right? And the thing is that when we started off with saying that faith is trust, okay? Faith is trust. Basically, we need great faith to meet great challenges. Faith is absolute trust in a loving and powerful God to fulfill all His promises. Okay, it's just simply trust, all right? And the first sermon that we had on great faith was about the Hebrew people, the average Hebrew guy. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 39, he talked about the fact that they were going through persecution, right? They were going through tremendous persecution and how God granted them faith to overcome it. So as people of God, great faith will enable us not to shrink back. Okay, we are people who do not quit, all right? In the face of challenges, we believe that God will help us to overcome, and we do not quit. And then we talked about Enoch. How many remember Enoch? Enoch didn't do much for God. You know, the Bible did not record any great achievements that he did for God. He wasn't like David, who was a warrior. He wasn't like Abraham, who moved from his city to a place that he never knew where he was going. He just left. All right, so Enoch didn't do much for God, but yet God was pleased with him. Yet God was so pleased with him that he did not face death. Enoch was just taken off into heaven. All right. And we realize that great faith is also one that calls us to just be faithful in our walk with God. All right. If we're faithful with him, and that will please God already. And then last week, Pastor Daniel preached about Noah. How many of you still remember Noah? Right, Noah's a guy who just obeyed. I mean, radical obedience. I mean, this is a guy, you know, God told him to build an ark, which is like a boat, which is bigger than Boeing 747, or the size of 747, you can imagine, but it's slightly bigger than that, right? And God told him that get ready for the flood. And when you look around Israel, if you go for a trip to Israel, you find that Israel is actually a very dry land, right? It's almost desert-like, arid place. And while he was building it, people must be laughing at him. So this guy, Noah, built the ark for 120 years before the flood came. And so for 120 years, he endured laughter, ridicule from his friends. But great faith means we can actually have great obedience, all right? And so, coming back to trust, Pastor Daniel started off his message last week by talking about, you know, us having trust in every day in our lives, all right? We start our day, we get out of the house, we go to the car, we just put on the engine and then we drive. We don't go and check out the bonnet, what's happening, what's beneath the bonnet and things like that before we drive. We just go in, put on the switch and then we go, right? In fact, Singapore said this. You know, Singapore came out an announcement that they're going to have driverless buses by 2022. How many have read that? If they're going to have driverless buses in 2022, that means we're going to just put our faith in some gadget that's going to help these buses run on its own, right? And that's what faith is all about. Okay, we faith is going to be is going to kind of like run our life, so to speak. You know, all these gadgets will be doing it for us. But while we have faith in all these things, okay, what about us? What about life itself? Whom do we put our faith in for life, for purpose, for success, for true success? What do you mean by true success? What do you mean by purpose in life? Now, who do you put your faith in, right? You find that we are all created beings, okay, and the Creator. Wants his creation to succeed. How many believe that? Which creator would want his creation to fail? All right? When Steve Jobs came up with Apple, He came up with Macintosh, and over the years, he moved it up to what it is today, right? Even our very own Dialogue, you find that this program that we started, our creators here in this very church itself, I mean, he's sitting right here with us, right? The mastermind, the content of this book is Joesha, okay? And we have also Haochun. Haochun's not here with us, you see? He's not here with us, but Haochun is the other creator who developed the so-called format and the structure of the program itself. Okay, and the thing is that when they sat down to do this, all right, I remember the days when we were trying to figure this out. You know, Haochun and Joesha, they'll be calling, all right, we're going to meet today. We're going to see what we're going to do. We're going to review this. Everybody read. Everybody go through this. And then we're going to meet, six of us will sit down, and we actually run it through the program as if we are doing it, as if you guys are doing it, all right, to see whether it works, to see whether it makes sense, okay, because creators want to make sure that their creation succeeds, right? So, for us, God wants us to succeed. Some of you don't really believe that. You know, God's our creator. He wants us to succeed. Why don't you lift up your right hand? Come on, all of you. Raise my right hand. Okay, you touch the guy on your right and tell him God wants you to succeed. All right? Right. So now you lift up your left. Okay, you touch the guy on the left now. And he said, you too. So just know that God wants us to succeed, all right? He wants us to do great things in life. He will be so proud if he sees us succeed, right? So if we make godly priorities, we will be more effective people. If we make the right choices in life, we will be more successful. Okay, and so I have this quote from Joe Duncan. Joe Duncan says, every choice you make determines the standard you accept for your life. All right? So what choice you make today basically is the outcome of what it is tomorrow. So you need to make the right choice in life. And the thing is that we can't make right choices until we know who we are. Okay? And we're going to talk about Moses. Moses made great choices, okay? The faith of Moses. Moses is a guy, actually Moses is a bit of a reluctant leader. Okay, Moses, as I read the Bible, as I look at his life, he's a bit of a reluctant leader sometimes, you know, because when he was called to lead the people out from Israel, he debated with God. You know, he argued with God and says, you know what? If I were to go and see Pharaoh, what would he say to me? I mean, what can I say, actually? If he asked me, who sent me there? You know, he's arguing with him, and then he goes on to say, but you know, I don't speak very well, you know, and so I'm not sure if I can do it. But the beautiful part about Moses is that, okay, even though he debated with God, he obeyed anyway. You know, sometimes we find that, or rather we say that delayed obedience is disobedience, right? But I believe in this case, Moses was just clarifying what was his purpose. Is that the real purpose that God has for him to lead these people up? He was clarifying, he was arguing, he was debating to determine whether that was really his calling. But when he found out, when he knew for sure that was what he was called to do, he never turned back. So he's a great leader in that sense, all right? And so we're gonna study about Moses. You find that Moses, if you do a Bible search, you find that the name Moses appears 784 times in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. Abraham only had 240 times, all right? Noah had only like 46 times maybe. And Enoch, 11 times only in the Bible. Okay, so Moses is a guy whom we can believe is a great leader, and we can learn from him. And so, tonight's text comes from Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 27. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. Can you read from here? 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You find that when God commended Moses about his faith, it started when he was born. It says, by faith, when he was born, his parents saw that he was beautiful. You know that the word beautiful there, okay, the same verse is found also in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2 in the Old Testament. The name, that word beautiful, actually means good. All right? That when the parents saw Moses, they didn't see that he was just cute as a baby. Right? They saw that he had something more than that. He has potential. You know, he has a destiny. He has a purpose in life. All right? And that's the same with all of us. Okay? Because that word in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, when the parents saw him and they said that he's good, that word good is the same word that God used when he created the heavens and the earth. When God said, let there be light, boom, there was light. And then God said, wow, it was good. That same good is the word that he used to describe Moses as a baby. You know, all of us have a destiny and a purpose in God, right? Come say amen to that. If you have no purpose, yeah, then you are directionless. You have, until when you find your purpose, then you know where you're going. All right? And so, I just want to encourage you, each one of us, okay, we have a purpose and a destiny in God. And God wants each and every one of us to succeed in this life. All right? And you find that as we look into the background of Moses itself, this is very important. The first 40 years of his life, he spent with Pharaoh's daughter. Right? He was there. He lived for 40 years in the palace of Pharaoh with the princess. And he was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. You know, Egypt, my ancient Egypt, was one of the most powerful nations during that time. Right? You find that in Genesis, during the time of Joseph, if you recall, January 2, when I preach about Joseph, you find that there was the first time we find international trade in the Bible. How many of you know that? The first time, because there was such a big famine around the world, all the nations around came to trade with Egypt. And Joseph was the prime minister then. You know, international trade was first mentioned in Genesis at that time. You find that Pharaoh's army was one of the most powerful. He had a powerful army. All right. Today we talk about the Americans or the Russians, but at that time, all right, Egypt had a powerful army, so they are a powerful nation. And then you find that also in Isaiah they talk about, you know, Egypt has all the finer things in life. All right, fine linen. They've got horses. Horses is one of those things that in the ancient times, it's a trophy. If you get a nice stallion, that's a trophy. All right. Egyptian horses were among the most sought after animals during that time. And you find that Egypt is a representation of an ancient capitalism. Ancient capitalism. Ancient worldly things. You know, you want the best things to enjoy, your drink, dance, everything that you find it in Egypt. All right. And so, when the Bible tells us that Moses was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt, he basically was trained by the best of the best. Moreover, he stayed in Pharaoh's palace. So he was brought up with all the good education. He knew all the good things. And it goes on to say that Moses was powerful in speech and action. So that means that he developed, you know, he got the best tutors, he got the best coaches. He was already a very powerful person. He was a great leader at that point in time. But at the end of the 40th year, that was his turning point. Okay, at the end of the 40th year, he kind of like realized that it is time for him to step up, to stand with his fellow Israelites. That means he knew that he wasn't an Egyptian, and that his really his heritage was with Israel. And so he went around looking at his people, and then he found some Egyptian and an Israelite having an altercation. And what happened was he killed an Egyptian. And because of that, the Pharaoh was going to jail him or something, that he ran. Right? When he ran, he basically spent the next 40 years in the far side of the desert. You know, far side of the desert. You know, far side of the desert is the back end of the desert. It's in a place where nobody goes. Right? We made a trip to Israel last November. Right? Basically, most of Israel and the Palestine areas are really dry. It's either sandy or rocky. And on the far side, basically, when we drive out of the city, it's just nothing. It's just sand. It's just rocky mountains and sand. All right? It's basically barrenness. So you spend 40 years in that. I think this is something we're going to talk about a bit later. Something happened in those 40 years that changed him. All right? And then, so of course, at the end of that 40 years, how God does things, I don't know. He kind of times it every 40 years, right? So at the end of the 40 years, now Moses is 80 years old, okay? 80 years old, and he gets this calling from God, from the burning bush. Okay, God kind of like got his attention and called him over, and then it was then that God raised him up to say, it's time for you, do what your purpose is. And finally, because of the Israelites, they did not obey. They wandered around for 40 years before they entered the promised land. Moses died at age 120. But what was powerful about Moses was that at the time when he was ready to pass on the baton, he never made a big fuss about it. He never controlled power. He just let it off. He let it just pass it on to Joshua. And in effect, he commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. And that's how he is as a leader. So, at the point when he stood up to be identified with Israel, that was his turning point, right, as I said. And I believe that at the point in time when he was doing that, it's either he was going to step up now to be the leader for the Israelites and try and fulfill his destiny or calling on his own. But lo and behold, it didn't turn out that way for him. And I believe one of the reasons why it didn't turn out that way for him is because though he did the right thing, but he did it his way. He didn't do it God's way. He did it his way. And you find that Moses had 40 years of training in Egypt. And I believe that he had too much of Egypt in him. He had too much of Egypt in him. You see, when he looked at the altercation between the Israelite and the Egyptian, he felt moved to protect his people. How many of you watch Netflix? Some of you watch Netflix. You guys don't have a life. I watch Netflix. Chinese New Year. Man, I finished whole of Daredevil, everything. I finished Daredevil, but I tell you, Daredevil is such a... I don't know, my son is here, I won't say it. Daredevil kind of like doesn't like to kill anybody, all right? He's just kind of like try and solve everything by just wrestling them down. But then all these bad guys are killing all his friends, you know? But the thing was that my son was telling me, okay, if you want to see some real action, then you watch The Punisher. So I started looking at Punisher, and I'm telling you, The Punisher brings violence to a new level. I mean, oh my goodness, you know? So let me tell you this, what's the link here? You know, Moses has been trained. He's powerful in speech and action. This guy is a warrior. You know, he's just like the Punisher. I mean, when he sees injustice, he takes matters in his own hands. Right? Power was important. For the Egyptian, power was important. The army was powerful. Everything about Egypt is power. Okay. And so, God's way is not that way. God's never addressed injustice with power. You know, God says, if somebody hits you on the left cheek, you give him the right cheek. You know, God talks about forgiveness. God talks about love. All right. And that's his way of doing things. And I believe that the 40 years that Moses went through, God had to undo some things in his life. God had to change something. God had to break something in him so that he can be used. Okay. So, if you are going through a desert walk, if you are going through a period of silence, if you are going through a time when it's just solitude, you know, nothing seems to work for you, your friends don't want to talk to you, you know, maybe some of them, better don't talk to them, you know. But, you know, when everything is quiet, when God is bringing through a time of desert, it's not a bad thing sometimes. Because God is doing something. God is trying to set you up for something greater. God's trying to undo some things in you. But during that time when you're walking through the desert, make sure you learn it. All right? And this is what happened, I believe, in what happened to Moses. God was undoing Egypt from him. God was pulling out some of the things that were not right in his life. Change him so that he becomes useful. So God breaks us to use us. Right, and so you find that in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, he actually says that, no, sorry, that was the other one. So in Exodus 4:10, Moses actually did say that, you know, I've never been eloquent. When God challenged him, right, challenged him to go to the Pharaoh, Moses says, I've never been eloquent. You know, after 40 years of walk in the desert, he couldn't even remember the time that he was powerful in speech. He couldn't even remember that. And he's telling God, you know, I'm slow in speech and in tongue. You know, something happened to him. You know, when we walk through the desert, it's a time when God will also humble us. That we will learn. That we will learn not to use our own power, but to lean on his power. And the Bible says that in our weakness, all right, he is strong. Right? Because if we want to do it on our own, okay, then there's no room for God to come in. But when we lean on him, God moves. All right? And so in this instance, you know, Moses had to learn new things. And I believe that 40 years, God prepared him for his destiny. And so now, and so this is very important. So now as we go back to read the main text of the service, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, it says, by faith, all right, by faith, when he was born, he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, was refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So this was his turning point. He chose. What did he choose? He chose purpose over pleasure. All right, this is what he did. He chose purpose over pleasure. But let me just finish it on. So, but as he moves on, he says he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You know, Moses, when he found his purpose, you know, the thing is that when he realized that his destiny was never to be an Egyptian. When he finally realized, look, I'm really not an Egyptian. Okay, I'm really an Israelite. And when he found his identity, he found his purpose. Right. So knowing your identity leads you to your purpose. And when it leads you to your purpose, okay, then it determines how you live your life. And so when he knows who he was and what his purpose was, the rest followed easily. Basically, when he was looking, he was willing to be inconvenient. Okay, he was looking at the reproach of Christ was even more as a greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. So he was looking at more the eternal rewards as opposed to the temporary treasures that Egypt can offer. And then lastly, of course, he was not afraid. By faith, he left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And basically, he's having more godly fear than worldly fear. Okay, and that's how he lived his life. So now let's talk about this. The first point is that he chose purpose over pleasure. He chose purpose over pleasure. When he found out that he was an Israelite, he knew that Egypt wasn't there for him. Again, why we know that? See, the purpose that he has is basically, his purpose was enshrined. Next slide, please. Yeah. His purpose was enshrined in the promises of God. You find it in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. All right? So we find that God has a purpose for the Israelites. The Israelites were a chosen generation. Right? They were a special nation to God. And so, you know, when Moses knew that he was an Israelite, that purpose was sinking into his heart. So his like I said, his very purpose is enshrined in the purposes, in the promises of God itself. And so with that, right, with that, he chose then to basically to be able to look at eternal rewards and not just the temporary treasures. Okay, he was able to look at, you know, to face, he was more afraid of God and of men, essentially. Right? But going back to purpose, when you know your purpose, okay, when you finally know who you are, it determines what your purpose is. Okay, now, the thing is that, like it or not, we are all royalty here. How many believe you're royalty? We are sons and daughters of the Most High King, right? We are royalty. Yeah? And if you a royalty, you have to know, you got to determine which level you want to play. You know, when Meghan Merkel married Prince Henry, okay, when an ordinary person marries into royalty, something changes in their lives, right? No longer can they play in the mud anymore, okay? They've got to elevate themselves up. So know that we are royalty. Let me just ask you this question, okay? If we look at a fairy tale story like a beggar, okay, how would a beggar live his life? A beggar has no purpose because he has nothing with him. He is just waiting to end the day well. If he's got food to eat, he's happy. If he's got shelter, he's happy. If he's got a place to sleep, he's happy. All right. So a beggar don't have much purpose. He just wants to fulfill the day and then start another one. But let's say, out of this story, he discovers that he's actually a prince. He's actually royalty. The whole things change. Okay? We, and I'm talking really to Christians right now, all right? We are royalty. Okay? Once before we met Christ, we are like the beggar. We are not just like the beggar before. We are only interested in the temporary things of life. We just go out, we want to pursue our careers, we want to make our businesses really successful and all that. There's nothing wrong, but the focus and the whole desire is just doing that, right? And at the end of the day, after you've done all that, what happens? It's all gone. You leave it all behind. But God has an eternal purpose for us. And so if you step up when you know that now you are royalty, you have to play a different game. Okay? And so you find that when Moses chose eternal rewards, you find that our purpose, okay, is linked with God. And God is eternal. So our purpose runs through eternity. Okay. Our earthly body may die. We may perish, get buried, be gone with, but our spirit lives on with God. And our the purpose, our very purpose, lives on with Him for eternity. And the thing is that if you have eternity secured, if you know in the heart of your hearts, my eternity is secured, I will always be with God, everything else in this world will mean nothing to you. That's why Moses could step in and say, worldly fear is nothing that will scare him. Not the king, not anything. You know, how many of you grew up, when you're little, when you're in a primary school, you grew up with the bigger brother in school? How many of you have done, how many have that? Right? When you have a bigger brother in school, you feel a bit safer, right? You're not so fearful. I never had a brother. I'm the eldest, so I'm, you know. I try to be very, very brave, but I'm not, okay. When you have a bigger brother, you don't feel so fearful, okay. When you realize that you have God behind your back, there's nothing to fear. You got a Lord Almighty standing right behind you. There's nothing to fear. And so when you recognize, when you realize in your heart of hearts that my eternity is secured, my very purpose is going to last to eternity together with God, nothing today is going to frighten me. And so this is where we are. I'm going to close right now if the worship team could come up. You know, we need to make great choices. The worship team is not coming up. We make great choices. Okay, we need faith to make the right choices in life, right? And you find that identity is very important. If we have not have, if you do not know really who you are, you can't find any purpose in life. Because if your purpose ends the day you die, then what's there to live for? What's there to live for? Many people who don't believe in God, for them, there's no purpose in life. Because there's no accountability at the end for them. If I walk a life without God in me, I might as well do anything I like. I just go bully up somebody, get money from him, kick him. And then after that, I go somewhere else. And then I spend the money. Then I feel like I want to have some good time with the girls. I go there and I just rape a woman and then I leave her and then I walk away. Because at the end of the day, when I die, I just die. I just vanish, disappear from the end, from the earth. But it's not that way for any of us. Right? At the end of the day, at the end of the road, there is an accountability. There is an accountability. And we are accountable to God. And so our very purpose, right, doesn't end the day our coffin goes into the grave. Our purpose will continue to live on with God. So I want to challenge you today, right? Maybe you all stand right now. Maybe we'll worship in the end. I want to stand right now. You know. If you're here, if you've been worshiping with us, or you've been to other churches as well, you've been going to church and all that, but you never really know your real identity. You've never really found Christ. You never really have God in your life. You know, you've been searching for purpose. You've been going around. You know, purpose is such an intangible thing. You know, we go to courses, we go to seminars, and they always talk about that. At the end of the day, we have great conversations, but very little conclusions. You know, because purpose is not found here on earth. Purpose is found in heaven. Purpose is found in God. Purpose is found in our Creator. The very person who created us knows exactly who we are and knows exactly what we're supposed to do. Our jobs, our business, whatever degree you may have, whatever position in life you may have, that's not your purpose. That's only a platform for you to perform your purpose. Our purpose is, you know what? Our purpose is to be able to stand righteous before God. stand righteous before God for eternity. Our purpose is to be able to walk with God from today till eternity. That's the very purpose God has for us. Everything else on earth is only a platform for us to fulfill our purpose. And so if you're here, even if you're a Christian, if you never really grasp that relationship that you have with Jesus, right? And even if you're a guest here today, you've never had that relationship with God. You never know what it is with God. I want to give you an opportunity today, right? Maybe you can all eyes closed and bow your heads and all eyes closed between you and God. And you just search your hearts today. You know, what identity do I carry? I carry my own? Am I just my man on my own? Or I have a purpose in God? Right? If you want to know Jesus, if you want to just come before Him, we're going to introduce Jesus to you in a short prayer. If that's you today, you come and you want to know Jesus, you just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands right now. I see those hands, yeah. I see those hands. I think there are more of you. If you want to know real purpose, you need to meet God. You need to meet the Creator to be able to know your right purpose in God. And we can pray with you, all right? Anybody else? I see those hands. Come on. God is just waiting, right? Okay. Thank you. Any more? God has a purpose for us. His purpose is always good. Right, if you lift up your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me together. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I thank you that you died on the cross and you paid the penalty of my sins. That today I can receive this gift of eternal life. And Lord, right now, I repent of all my sins and I turn to you and receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. And right now, I receive your gift of eternal life and I receive your purpose for me. And I will walk a life in worship to you and to honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Right, we're just going to worship God right now. Thank you. It's your breath.